Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Good morning, Rave listeners. I'm Joel Rollins, and welcome to The Week, brought to you by Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi, manufacturer of, well, lots of things for the audiovisual industry, and you can find out more about them at Mitsubishi.com. With me this morning is Jennifer Willard, founder of Women in AV, and also Sarah Abrams, the editor-in-chief at Rave Publications. We had originally scheduled this episode to talk about women in AV and the fact that Wavecast isn't just for women. Unfortunately, we've had some other news thrust upon us with the hit of Hurricane Sandy. I am recording this morning in Stamford, Connecticut, where we were hit rather hard and are starting to come out of it. Not hit anywhere near as hard as out in New York and New Jersey. So we thought we'd talk about a little bit about Wave and then go on into Sandy, what we can do about it, and how it might affect our industry. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Always happy to have my editor on the show. Anyway.
Well, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
When we've started Rave Radio, one of the things that I really wondered about was the titles of the shows. This show, The Week, my worry was that people wouldn't think it was about anything in particular, which it actually isn't. And the other one was that the Women in Audiovisual Wavecast was something that I wondered, because having listened to a few of them, I think there's content in it for people who are not women, i.e. men in the industry. And I wanted to talk to Jennifer about that. But Jennifer, first, would you just give us a brief overview of what Women in AV is and what you're about?
Great, yeah. And thanks for having me on here as well to talk about it. So Women in AV is an organization that is based on supporting women in our industry and through encouraging them, networking, opportunities for webinars, mentoring. So we have over 470 members right now. We're on 5 continents. And like you said, though, Joel, I think it's really one of the things that makes our organization unique and stand out is that we are focused on women in supporting them, we also are very fortunate and very much encourage the participation of the men in our industry. Being women in a male-dominated industry, we're very well aware that if it weren't for the men, to have helped those of us that are here and will help those of us that will come after us, we'd be in a little bit more of a difficult position. So as you mentioned, we have the Women in AV Wavecast for Rave Radio. We've actually interviewed programmers. Sarah was on it for us once as editor-in-chiefs. We've had the Infocom Board of Directors. And most recently, we interviewed the men in our industry. So you can find us on womeninav.com. We are on LinkedIn. We have Twitter. And so we would love for everybody to participate and share their thoughts and inspirations.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned there was that you already had the participation of men in the industry. Tell us about AV Gents.
Right. So AV Gents was an episode that we did where we had on 4 gentlemen from our industry, Chuck Wilson, John Green, Tim Albright, and George Tucker. And so they really just shared their perspective on what it was to be a woman in a male-dominated industry. They shared their ideas on who were the women leaders and standouts for them. And then they also offered us a lot of advice in terms of what we can do, not just as women, but as our entire industry, to sort of have more women come into the industry and get excited, as well as youth. So it's really fantastic. You can see it on ravepubsradio.com.
That's truly a great thing. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed in the last few years, as most people know, I come from the rental and staging side of the industry. In the live events portion of the industry, we have a much higher component of women involved in positions all the way from field technician through senior management. because of where live events come from. We come from a background of education in drama, in music, in things like that. And as a result, we've always had much higher participation from women. I now run a small installation company. And while we've had lots and lots of great women in sales roles, in management roles, in project management, even in technical drawing, when we advertise for field technicians, we get almost no female applicants. And I spend a lot of time speaking to local community colleges, a local technical school, and one of the things that we've emphasized is trying to get more women involved in the industry. And yet, that particular part of the field seems to have less women involved. Maybe we can come back to Sarah. Do you have an opinion on that?
I think that the industry is just going to have to, as industry itself, consciously go out and recruit the demographics of people it wants to see more of and that it needs. And that's not just women, but also young people. And it's going to be really important to the future of our industry to do things like that.
Jennifer?
I agree with Sarah completely, and I have my own experience around that, being in high school and college, having the fortune of being around broadcast and studios and television stations. So it really is that engagement of young people when they are young, not waiting until they get to college or get out of college without having a lot of experience or hands-on work that they could do, because when I had that opportunity, it absolutely influenced me to want to be creative and to want to learn more. It was in an environment where it wasn't the pressure of having a professional job. So I think that if we as an industry reach out to people a lot younger and give them more opportunities to see, touch, feel AV, then they'll continue on that path.
I think that's probably true. I mean, there have always been great women involved in the industry. I was honored this year to accept the Adele DeBerry Pioneers of AV Award on behalf of my company's founder, Everett Hall. Our industry's award for AV pioneering is named after a woman. So women have been an important part of our industry from the very beginning. I think roles are changing. As I said, you know, in the rental and staging side of the business, it's always been closer to 50-50, maybe, you know, 60-40. But in the installation side, I've found that not to be as true. Although, as Sarah pointed out, something that we hadn't considered when we originally talked about this episode is we also seem to be members of an aging industry. And getting young people involved in the audiovisual side of the business. When we go out and do presentations at community colleges, when we go out and do presentations for local technical schools, most of them have never considered us as a business. And when they do think of us, they think of us as primarily home theater. And Lee Distad and I will be doing an episode fairly shortly about the differences between the home theater and the commercial side. But Sarah, what do you think we could do that would make those recruiting efforts more effective? And is it perhaps that we're not emphasizing the right things about the job?
Well, I think it's funny when you ask people in the industry how they got in the industry, almost everyone kind of has an unusual or funny story. It seems like a lot of people end up in the AV industry almost by coincidence, which is certainly how I ended up here myself. I think to get the right types of people and the kinds of people we want to see and that are going to continue the industry on, the people who are already here, which is in a lot of cases men, have to be willing to go out and mentor people they want to see coming into the industry, which is why it's so important for men to be a part of Women in AV, because we need men who are willing and will feel comfortable mentoring women who can come up in the industry, as well as mentoring young people.
Jennifer, anything you want to add to that?
I think that's right on. And if I may just say congratulations on the Adele DeBerry Award. That's really wonderful. And it actually brings up a point that I think that as an industry we can do. She was actually the inventor. She's one of my biggest heroes because she was actually the inventor of the silver screen. And I was fortunate enough to receive a book about her history, her life, and all of that after writing my first blog about that. And I think that we need to, as an industry, have more information readily available like that, that we can share, not just about women, but about our entire industry. One of the things that I found when I was researching for that blog was that there's no information out there about our industry whatsoever. It's changed so much from the days of NAVA, and you know, it used to be very much focused on education. As you mentioned, Joel, it was very much about the film side, the theater side of things. So it was very difficult for me to sort of piece together a book, and I still to this day, maybe it exists, but still to this day, I haven't found a book that it's like, this is the AV industry, this is who they were, where they've come from, and where they're going. And then in terms of actually selling ourselves to the youth, I think that, you know, and I'm not sure if this is a gender thing, but I think that we have to sell ourselves differently, especially when it comes to, I think, women. They want to be able to wrap their sort of, you know, their selves around what it is that they're doing that usually makes a difference. And so, you know, that's why you see so many nurses, because they're saving lives. Well, we also do that. We do that through telemedicine, but we don't sell our products. We don't sell our solutions that way. We sell them as cameras and boxes and part numbers and model numbers. So to a lot of young people who are at that point in time in their life where they want to follow their inspirations and their dreams and all that sort of stuff, I think that we need to get better in terms of how we're selling why somebody should be coming into the industry.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you that we have to emphasize end results when we're recruiting. Anyway, one of the things that, you know, we should talk about before we kind of segue on here is, how do people follow Women in AV, Jennifer?
Well, we have a LinkedIn group, Women in AV. So basically, if you go out and you Google anything, Women in AV, and which is really great, you should now find us. Whereas I can remember over a year ago when I started the Women in AV, trying to Google it, actually Googling the word Women in AV brought up the Adele DeBaer Award winners, and that was it. So it's really nice now that if you Google Women in AV, you'll be redirected to our website, which is womeninav.com. They can follow us on Twitter, at Women in AV. We are on Pinterest. We just recently launched our Facebook. So there's a variety of ways that they can get in touch with us. And I write for the Rave Pubs blog squad, so I tend to write about women's issues, and there's also events and things that we do, so you can go to ravepubs.com and go to the blog squad section and find me there.
Excellent. Well, now let's get on to the second subject that we had for this morning. I sit here, and actually from my office window, I'm watching power line crews putting poles back up, leading down into here. Luckily, we're in a building where we also have a generator, but a lot of the area is still without power, about 1 million people still without power. And Connecticut was not hit anywhere near as hard as New York and New Jersey were. And with as pivotal as New York is in our industry, there certainly are going to be ramifications to Sandy for our industry. And there's a lot of people in the industry trying to help. And I thought we could talk about that. Jennifer, I know that you had come across an AV company on Staten Island that's working real hard at helping. Can you tell us about them?
Right. Yes. Yeah, so JD Systems is a New York-based integration and design company, and they've been just a supporter of women in AV and our industry in general. So I know that they are, and I have known that they were a New York company. I haven't met them personally, but they've just been a good AV friend in the sense. And so when I was out there posting our survey for Women in AV, I came across their article that they wrote. I've written a rave blog about it, so you can go see it there and get in touch with them. But come to find out, they are actually based on Staten Island. And so, as you mentioned, you know, one of the hardest hit areas that Sandy actually brought to the Northeast, I was just really blown away and just thought it was awesome that knowing that they were going through a whole lot of stuff themselves, they've actually put up their own blog squad, their own blog. And so they're actually putting together money and, you know, raising donations and things for Carl V. Binney, the Memorial Fund. So they're actually, even though they themselves have been hit extremely hard, it was just really incredible to me to see that they've actually taken and are out there helping other people. So I think one of the things when you see not just Sandy, but sort of any type of natural disaster and things, immediately you get all of this information about how to help, what you can do to help. And sometimes it's hard to sort of sift through it. And I also was really encouraged to say, well, this is somebody in our own industry. And so what better for us to do than try to help somebody in our industry where it really touches and hits home, that's also trying to help somebody else. So again, I wrote a blog about it. You can see that on the Rave Blog Squad. And Joel, I also know that you yourself wrote something. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, I've spent a lot of years as both a volunteer fireman and as a Red Cross volunteer. One of the real challenges when a place like New York is hit is that it is difficult to get, it's difficult to get in and out of New York on a daily basis, even on a good day. On a day like this, with roads blocked, with trees down, with power lines down, it is very difficult to move supplies in and out of the area. And I've had a lot of friends from around the industry contacting me over the last couple of days to say, how can we help? With the difficulties in New York, the best thing that people can do is to contribute to an organization that's already on the ground. And the one that I think everybody can agree with is the American Red Cross, who have done exemplary work here over the last week. They were setting up emergency aid stations and bringing supplies to the area 2 days before the storm hit. They mobilized their volunteers several days out. They literally, people from around the country who were Red Cross volunteers, moved into the area with us for the storm. And that, I thought, was just outstanding on their part. There are two ways to give at this point, and money to the Red Cross is probably the best thing any individual across the country can do for the relief effort right now, for a couple of reasons. One, they are already on the ground. They already have a supply chain. It's nice to send food and supplies and blankets, but they have to sort them, and then they have to get them to people. And it's easier to simply work with their existing logistics chain. So there are two ways to do that. One is go to redcross.org. And you can give to the relief effort directly on their webpage. The other is to text the word Red Cross to 90999. That's 90999. That will make an instant donation of $10 to the Hurricane Sandy relief effort. And we have an issue right now where we're trying to mobilize to help the Red Cross as fast as we can, because as it stands right now, the area is going to be hit by another storm on Wednesday. And the problem with it is, while it will only be a nor'easter, it won't be another hurricane, it's going to be a pretty good size nor'easter, hit the entire tri-state area, and doing it while people are still trying to clear things out of the rubble of their homes. So it's going to be a bad storm. Right now, the Red Cross is focusing on getting as many people who are homeless, who need shelter, into shelters before the storm, as quickly as they can. So that, I think, is one of the very best ways that people could help. The next question is going to be, what kind of impact this has on our business in the area? Obviously, New York, central to the audiovisual industry across the country. So many distributors are here. So many warehouses are here. It probably is going to affect supply for a while. It's also an area where, in the Northeast, we should be in the middle of our busy season. And about a week ago, it came to a grinding halt. Most of my customers still trying to recover, so still at a grinding halt, which has given my guys some time to spend on, you know, gathering canned goods, working on relief effort, things like that. It is going to have an impact on the business. Sarah, you folks at Rave probably hear from and see more of this than anybody in a hurry, because you're one of the central ways of getting information out in the industry. Who have you heard from, and how do you think it's having an impact so far?
We've heard from a few manufacturers. A lot of them are still without power at their main offices, but are doing their best to communicate out to the dealers. One in particular I've heard from is Kramer, who as of Thursday still didn't have power at their main offices, but had gotten their main warehouse on Long Island back up and online. And they sent out some cell phone numbers of sales and technical support people who are available to the dealers in the U.S. So, yeah, there are a lot of guys we've heard from on Twitter who are seem to be okay, but it's definitely going to affect operations for a good while. There's also, as of right now, a trade show in the digital signage industry that's supposed to go on in New York next week, and as of right now, it's still scheduled. They had told us that as long as the New York Marathon was going on, their trade show was going to go on. Obviously, the New York Marathon did get canceled, but the trade show is still planning to go on. It's the CETW show in New York City for digital signage. But yeah, we wish everyone the best. And if there's anything we can do to help or get the word out, we're happy to help in any way we can.
There's a great vehicle there if you want to take a look at the blog at ravepubs.com. All of us will be talking about this, I'm sure, over the next week. And as we get information from people in the audiovisual industry, I know that I'll be posting it on my blog page, and I'm pretty sure everybody else will too. So Rave Pubs could be a good place to look for information on what's going on.
Yeah, we've also been, if people post on Twitter updates about their office situation or their personal situation, and we've been retweeting it to try to get out the word to as many people as possible. So when they know when, you know, X manufacturers back up on online.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I hear anything in the area about people in the industry who need help or anything that we can do, you can certainly look for it on my blog page, and I'll also be tweeting it out. Jennifer, you're way out on the left coast. How do you think this is going to affect things nationally?
Well, certainly, we did even, we, like you said, I'm in San Francisco, so very far away from any of the immediate impact, but I definitely felt a business impact, knowing that, like you said, that a lot of companies' headquarters and offices are in the New York, New Jersey area. Some of the consultants that I work with didn't have email themselves out here because their headquarters were the main place where they had email. So certainly, even though it was far removed from the actual storm itself, it has a ripple effect across the entire country, being that New York and New Jersey are such a big you know, sort of hub and center for AV. So we felt the impact. In terms of, you know, as we were sitting here, I was just sort of trying to think, like, how is this really going to affect our industry in terms of knowing that AV is sometimes it's that nice to have. While we've made so many significant strides over the year in becoming a must have in an organization to communicate, to be able to, you know, give presentations and, you know, clients and et cetera. I wonder that the industry wouldn't be affected because people right now, their most immediate thought is going to be on their house, their repairs. They're not going to maybe spend that money this winter. Certainly when something like this happens to people, you know, they tend to back off on things. So I'd be very curious to see how the actual flat panel display market is impacted. And I say that because I thought that I had recently seen and read that that market itself was doing okay and expected to sort of rebound. So long term, I would say that. And then the other thing that I was thinking is, you know, well, what can we do? There's obviously always a problem, but then there might be a solution. And so I'm curious to see if more companies and more clients are going to head down the direction of emergency response and how that might actually be an opportunity for our industry to help. I know that in times of disasters and things, you typically see an increased use of video conferencing because, like you said, Joel, people can't get around. So I don't know. I think that they're, you know, on the one hand, it's difficult to say because people are not going to necessarily want to spend money on something that isn't considered part of their core business. And then on the other hand, our industry as a whole helps people to do business and continue to do business in ways that they might not have otherwise in situations like this.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at what we've got coming up over the next couple of weeks, and like I say, Southern Connecticut was hit, but not hit as hard as New York and New Jersey. We're spending the bulk of our time helping clients as they get power back and as they get telecom back, getting systems back up and running. And we do that for a number of local hospitals. They were first on our priority list in terms of getting their telemedicine suites, their video conferencing back running. We also deal with a number, you know, being in Southern Connecticut, we deal heavily in the banking and financial industries. And it's important to them to be part of the recovery. So as, you know, as those places get power or get generators, which a lot of them are now, we're starting to help them get back online. And I think that will be a process throughout the Northeast for the next several weeks. And a lot of it will also depend on how much of the work the telecom companies can get done before this storm hits again and we're expected to see some more outages. Sarah, can you add anything to things that we can do to aid in the recovery?
I think everyone just needs to keep communicating and making sure that we can help other people in the industry, like, get the word out about their status and what they actually need. You really hit the nail on the head about how the most important thing you can do is donate money, because that will be the easiest thing for the Red Cross and the people on the ground already. But it's also important that if you can't donate money, to keep trying to give what you can, whether it's blood to the Red Cross. I have heard that they have a shortage and are needed that as well. And then you can also donate like canned goods and blankets and things like that that can hopefully get into the area.
Well, one of the things to do in any kind of a situation like this is to stay aware. And for that, for news on the national front, take a look at redcross.org. Give while you're there if you can. If you can, pick up your cell phone and text Red Cross to 90999 for an instant $10 donation to the Hurricane Sandy relief effort. For news on the industry, always watch ravepubs.com. And all of us on Blog Squad will be contributing to that, you know, everything that we know about the changing situation. And with that, Jennifer, Sarah, I'd like to thank you both for meeting with us this morning. And
thank you, Joel.
We will definitely be staying in touch.